Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here on the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Before I forget, I don't very often do this, and I should do it more, and that is if you'd like to reach me for whatever reason, complaint, compliment, constructive criticism, you name it, whatever you want, I am reachable, probably the best. We've got a couple of email addresses, but we're just going to narrow it down to one. Going forward, redskyradio777@gmail.com. Last week, we ended the program talking about people who were moving and fleeing. And I gave you some scriptures to that end, but it was connected to another piece, which I did not have time to finish. And I'm going to start with that because it's actually our good news. I try to start this program with good news, try to end it with good news in between. It's an e-ticket ride sometimes, although, gosh, that's so long ago, e-ticket, there's probably half the people listening to this don't know what an e-ticket ride is. It means like the fastest one at Disneyland. They went the highest, the fastest, supposedly the scariest. And it was Disneyland that had the e-ticket, starting with A and whatever. Okay, the good news is the incredible increase in private and homeschooling among children in the United States. And here's how we know that it's successful and that it's growing. And that's because the left wants to shut it down. So this is good news. It is. I mean, you're going to do what if you're a caring parent, and to the extent that you have any influence, a caring grandparent, you'll try to make sure that your children or grandchildren have an excellent education, something that is going to develop the life skills necessary to not just survive, but to thrive in an increasingly challenging world. But the fact of the matter is, as Patrice Lewis, just going to pull a few things from a piece that she wrote, that homeschooling is in the crosshairs. Now, that's actually good news. If you say, well, why am I happy about that? Well, I'm not happy. It just means that they wouldn't be doing it if it weren't successful and if it weren't growing. Okay? So those two things tell me it is a success. The educrats, they're ticked off at parents. We know this from multiple stories we've heard, which I don't need to go into, how somehow they think that they're better parents than you and I are, and that they ought to be able to dictate the education that your children get. Sorry, we aren't a communist country quite yet. That's socialism front and center on its way to communism, the end game for socialism. But they think that it's a fault of homeschooling parents that the public schools are failing. Those parents are yanking their kids out in droves, says Patrice here. Why aren't these, why those schools would be flourishing? Our private schools, or I'm sorry, the public schools would be doing great if all these kids weren't leaving. Well, the question was, why are they leaving? What a twisted logic. It's because they aren't doing great. They stink. They're awful. And parents are tired of having their children, who they are responsible for, being guinea pigs, being lab rats for the left. So this is a huge blessing, actually, if you read between the lines, that states are coming after homeschoolers, to the point that states like New York and Massachusetts and sure to come is California, people will be voting with their feet. They're going to blow out of those states just for the sake of education alone. And it's worth fleeing for. That's why I'm drawing back to what we finished with last week, which I'll give you a few passages at the end of this piece to that point. But some, you remember when the banks started to go south, what was that, 2000, gosh, I can't remember, 2009, and we heard this phrase, they're too big to fail. Too big to fail. Well, if they don't succeed, then they aren't worth subsidizing if they're failing. I don't understand that concept. They're too big to fail. We can't let the system go crash, which is what they're saying about government schools. They aren't public schools. If they're public schools, they would be for everybody. But to the extent that they push all the tranny crap, queer crap, abortion, got kids ready to commit suicide over contrived climate anxiety, my goodness sakes, who wouldn't want their kids out of the rat hole? In fact, you'd be a negligent parent at the least. Maybe child abuse, child neglect, maybe child endangerment for having your children in government schools. Child endangerment used to be reserved for when maybe a parent would not take care of a gun or something of that sort, or let a child that the law thinks is too young to have a gun. That's child endangerment. I kind of get that, a danger to themselves and to others. But that's what their government schools are, a danger to your children and to others. So in a sense, it is child endangerment. So are they too big to fail? No, they're too big to subsidize if they're failing. If the public schools, I got to quit saying that because they aren't public. They're government schools. We're teaching to the standards of academic excellence. Why would there be such a flight? I mean, the flight is significant. I mean, I've got some statistics here which just blow me away that in some districts, the flight out of the schools has been at 20% of all enrollment. And there are a few that are high as 60% of the kids have been yanked by their parents because they're going to say, forget you, we're going to get out of Dodge and go to some place that won't use and abuse and treat my child like a social experiment, a lab rat that you want to turn into twice the child of hell that you are, government school, to quote scripture, paraphrased. Those who only can feel good about their sin in the government schools by making your children and grandchildren worse than they are. Somehow they get a thrill out of that to have them come out worse. They actually then get to feel just a tad bit righteous. Well, as a result of this flight, obviously states are starting to stand up, take notice, pass increasing regulations. In other words, they want to make it impossible to escape the government school. Yet, this is the enormous hypocrisy that's with the left, with the government schools. You go down the line in these government schools, you interview the teachers. Now, they're not all this way, but an overwhelming majority of them will state that they are, quote, pro-choice, end quote. No, they aren't. They're liars. They're hypocrites. They don't want you, parents, to have a choice. They want their choice to be confined to killing babies. Maybe that's where, in the womb, that's probably what they're referring to. But the fact of the matter is, it's hypocritical to say we're pro-choice. We're pro-choice. Oh, no, 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 no. Not when it comes to schools. We're not pro-choice. You don't get to choose. You have to take what we serve. Quoting Henry Ford, he said, you can have any color car you want, as long as it's black. That was Henry Ford's definition of choice in the early 20th century. Well, what does it come down to? The fact of the matter is, governments are all about control. We can see this in the left wing, everything. Everything is left-wing these days. It's why I don't think this country is going to survive. I really don't. Now, you can survive, you can thrive, you can have an impact, and you're here for a reason. but it may not be to ride the horse to victory. We'll do what we can, and then it's in God's hands. And if there's judgment, and I think there is, it's already started. Joe Biden is judgment. Barack Hussein Obama was judgment. Then we're in for, this program won't be the e-ticket ride. Real life will be the e-ticket ride. But the government contends that, you know, these private schools, there's no oversight. There's no guarantee your children are going to learn all of these skills and all the things that are essential to adult life. Well, what guarantee is there with you, government? You haven't done it. You haven't done it for years. The only way you can succeed, government, is if you have no competition. Competition destroys government schools, and they can't stand that. Because the left is fundamentally about the same thing that Satan is about. They walk hand in hand. He's the father of lies, and a bunch of his children are living here in the United States. It's about control. Obamacare wasn't about health care. It was about control. Pandemic was about control. Everything with the left is about control. It's everything that Satan has ever wanted. Control, control, control. Bow down and worship me, said to Jesus during the temptation. Turn these stones into bread. Cast yourself down, and I'll turn all these kingdoms over. All Satan wants is to be in charge. And that's all the left wants, is to be in control. Well, doggone it, as one person put, it's a parent's fault. It's a parent's fault that they want their children to be able to read and write and do math. How ridiculously selfish. Well, there are a few heroes out there. Ryan Walters, with an S, no relation to me, from the great state of Oklahoma, labeled, quote, teacher unions as terrorist organizations, and said that radical leftists have turned schools into an Epstein island of sexual predators. How much is this guy hated? I'll tell you what. I went into the enemy's camp the other day, the Human Rights Campaign, which is everything queer, everything sodomy, everything tranny, everything debauched, everything sinful that you could ever possibly imagine, all in one website. And they list all the companies, which I've read them before, which you need to boycott, which I boycott, that get 100% for supporting everything that God calls an abomination. But I went onto their website to see who their biggest target is. They got pages devoted to trying to take out Ryan Walters, the superintendent of state education in the state of Oklahoma. One of the great, truly great states in this country. Little dusty, little windy. Lots of rattlesnakes. Windblown rattlesnakes. No, not quite. But he's a hero. And you can tell how much of a hero it is when the left hates him this much. And the left has seized control incrementally. I say seize sounds like a one-time event. They've been in the process of gaining control for decades now. And I said 3 years ago, and I dare say that, I mean, I'm not saying others didn't say this, but I didn't hear anybody else say it. And I said it often and loud that I was thankful for the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown from one particular perspective. It shook the control of the children from the government schools. They thought they were maintaining maximum control by shutting them down and putting them on distance learning and so forth like that. They thought this was it. We can get paid for hardly doing jack. We don't even have to go to school. We get full pay, full benefits, all this stuff, and these kids belong to us. Well, guess what? That was when it's, and I said then, this is too much, too fast. Parents are going to vote with their feet. They're going to start finding other education systems. They're going to find online learning that's better than what's offered in the government school. They're going to go to those private schools that have remained open, some Christian, some secular, but they're still private schools that excel, they're going to vote with their feet. And they did. And the other thing was, parents are sitting there now looking at the crapola that their third grader is having to look at coming through the screen in the distance learning from the government school. And the parents said, to heck with them, we're out of here. So their effort to gain maximum control, they squeezed the sand in their hand a little too hard. And now it's coming out from beneath or from between all of the fingers. So the fact that New York, Massachusetts, some other states, the educrats fighting tooth and nail against school choice. And as I said, it's monopolies hate competition. If you can't win in a fair fight, then you're a loser. Right? If you can't win in a fair fight, you're a loser. Government schools, you're losers. We were the envy of the world. I know of some people that moved from the Midwest to California back. Well, I wasn't there, but they said that their parents moved them to California back in the 60s because of the superlatives that were given nationwide through the media over California's education system. And that it was better than Missouri, and it was better than Ohio, and people were moving there. Of course, some wanted to be closer to the beach, and maybe that's another thing, but it is driven by the so-called education. Now the fact of the matter is, people want out. And so, in conclusion, back to the piece that I did last week about fleeing. I said it was okay to flee when you are at risk of something. Said Matthew 2:13, the angel told Joseph and Mary to flee into Egypt until Herod died. Jesus fled Galilee. It wasn't safe there. Paul fled Damascus says in Acts 9:25. Then he fled Jerusalem in Acts 9:30. Peter was let out of prison in Acts 12, and he showed himself up to the door to his brethren, but after he let them know that their prayers had been answered, he got out of Dodge. Paul fled Iconium in Acts 14:6, and in Acts 19:9, Paul blew out of Ephesus because it was not receiving the word in any welcoming fashion, and a lynching party appeared to be on the horizon. Some are called to fight, but you don't fight with your kids. You fight. You fight to save your kids. You don't fight with your children or your grandchildren. So in every one of these cases in Scripture, what do I got? A half a dozen cases of people fleeing because it was dangerous. Now, it was dangerous to their physical person. I get that in each case. Except with Joseph and Mary, because Herod would have been out to kill Jesus as a child. And he was, after their return. He was after them. So he was after the child. And look how many children died around Bethlehem as a result of Herod's decree in an effort to try to kill Jesus. Control and death. Those are kind of the two earmarks of the devil and the people he has working for him. His minions in the millions on this planet. And so, is it a legitimate safety concern to flee for the benefit solely of your children? Forget your own personal safety. Just for your kids and grandchildren. A safer neighborhood. Better and safer schools. Yes. There's so many states that just suck, and they need to die and shrivel up in their education systems, totally implode, because that's going to be one of the precursors to secession or civil war. Bad states coming after good states because people are going to good states and taking their money and their children with them, and they get to just shrivel up surrounded by a whole bunch of queers and illegals and all the other things that they make of their town, their state, a sanctuary for. Yeah. Well, okay. That's my good news. Carrie Lake. We're going to shift here. Carrie's the next piece. Joey, brain dead skunk in the middle of the road. I'm your left wing puppet, Biden, to follow. Carrie Lake, a couple of weeks ago, not necessarily on my short list, although I was certainly accepting of her, that short list for a Trump VP seemed to be J.D. Vance, Carrie Lake, and Vivek Ramaswamy. And Carrie Lake screwed it up. Big time. Totally screwed it up. So we have Trump come out and give his position on abortion. You know, okay, rape, incest, what have you. The 1864 law in Arizona comes out and says, no, there's no abortion in the state of Arizona for any reason other than to save the life of the mother. And that's from day one. Carrie Lake, prior to the decision by the Supreme Court, had taken the position, and she's out there, that she would love to see the 1864 decision upheld and abortion just be banned. And what happens? Well, Trump comes out, and Trump does not agree with the 1864 decision, and Carrie Lake has done the biggest flip-flop that I have seen in record time of anybody. I like her. Don't get me wrong. I think she's great. But a flip-flopper? No. And now she's coming out and say, well, you know what? I know I did say that, but I've driven all over Arizona, and I've talked with all these people, and I find out that the people in Arizona just aren't really in sync with my position. And therefore, I think the law needs to be changed to allow it for abortion for rape and incest and maybe legitimate for a certain period of time and then prohibited after that. In other words, the 15-week law. Well, first of all, that's a flip-flopping position. And I'd have to ask Carrie. So, Carrie, let me understand. If the people of Arizona said they supported overwhelmingly abortion up to the point of birth, and even for the first 30 days after birth, like there's some provision for in California, also known as California, are you saying you're just going to mold and shape your own views over to what the majority wants, regardless of how grossly immoral it is? That's what she said. I mean, in effect, that is what she said. Well, I see the people don't feel the way that I do. I was serious. I wasn't lying. But I'm going to change my position to more closely align with what the people of Arizona want, according to the polls. Personally, I think she's trying to align herself more closely with Donald Trump because she can't be out there in contradiction of Trump on a very, very important and sensitive issue and have any particular hope of remaining as a viable and potential VP candidate. Will I vote for her? Absolutely, for the state Senate. Absolutely. Because the other guy is, I can't even describe how bad he is. Okay. I have to ask this. We have in Las Vegas and, there's a few areas where we have a fair number of black listeners. Love my brothers and sisters. I am thrilled when I have the opportunity to be able to preach at a church that, I'll just tell you, it's all black, except if I'm there. And then I'm the token white guy. I love preaching there. When I get a chance to do that, it's been 3 or 4 times. But I have to ask my brothers and sisters, I got to go back to the statement Joey Corn Pop made a couple years ago. Well, 2020, actually, I guess three and a half years ago, where he said, and this is when he supposedly had a mind. This is when he had some cognitive skills remaining. This is when he could supposedly sit back and actually cogitate. I think it was Bugs Bunny that used that word. Cogitate on certain topics. Wherein, though, he said, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're voting for me or Trump, then you ain't black. Now, what I would love, love, love to do is have every single black, well, every single black person, I was going to say black adult, somebody of voting age, but let's start with that. Every single black of voting age, register to vote, I would love to have them just watch the little tiny video clip of Biden saying that, and then have them, then have a vote as to how many would like to just simply punch that sucker in the face. They would. How condescending. How arrogant. How impudent. How elitist. Joey Biden still thinks he's the master of the plantation. And I'm hoping, come November 5th, he walks out the back door of his plantation and he sees that all the shacks that are holding the black slaves that have been on the Democrat plantation, they got up and left. And they are gone. Gone, 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 my baby. Gone. Sorry, I got that record. It just popped in my head. Well, we can only hope, and I love the fact that the percentage of blacks and Hispanics swinging to Trump, no matter how much they try to destroy him, sue him, put him in prison, and everything, they're actually somehow doing him a service, not a disservice. It seems like the more they attack him, the more his support grows. Any more, he becomes an underdog, and we're fighting for the underdog. I'm not trying to offend any New York Patriots fans, but hey, after six or seven Super Bowls almost in a row or whatever, a lot in a short period of time, people start rooting for the underdog. And I'm hoping that that's the impact here, that no amount of cheating by Democrats, which they will do, they have no morals, so cheating's no big deal to them. Voter fraud is a mere parking ticket to those guys. That, I mean, wouldn't it be something if the early returns from New York showed that it was neck and neck? Oh, my gosh. I would love to see, you know, that's a point at which I would jump from Fox or preferably Newsmax over to CNN or something and just watch them twisting and turning in their underwear there on the set while they have to read these results. Oh, gosh, what a sweet time it would be. So you can see how I define entertainment. I define entertainment as watching Democrats get their just desserts. Planned Parenthood, actually better known as Planned Non-Parenthood, have a new video out. It's going out to kids. They're telling them that virginity is so totally made up. It's a social construct. In other words, it doesn't really exist. The video says, it's time, younger people, it's time for you to throw away the notion of losing virginity. You know, it's time for us to throw away the notion of even giving one stinking rat's rear end dime to Planned Non-Parenthood. This is what, now Trump won't do this. Vivek Ramaswamy would do it. I got something to say or share about him in a minute. Well, a couple minutes coming up on a break. But they don't need to get a dime from the government. They're so, I'll tell you, it isn't the police that need to be defunded. It's a federal government that needs to be defunded. Be right back. Robin Walter, Robin Walter Show here on the Red Sky Radio Network.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
When Sunday mornings rolled around, we dressed up in hand-me-downs, just in time together with the church. Sometimes I think how long it's been, and how it impressed me then. It was the only day my daddy wouldn't work. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Those fertile fields are never far away. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Leaving home was the hardest thing.
Ah, there we go. You know, I know Scripture says, don't long for the old days. In other words, it basically says there's no such thing as the good old days. And that's true. I mean, you could say, well, you know, I mean, I grew up at a time we never locked our doors. I mean, there were times, I mean, a family of nine, but there were times I'd be in bed and I'd hear the front door open, and I slept with the same room as three of my brothers. I'd say, well, who's that? I don't know. We just go back to sleep. It didn't really matter. Those days, I understand those days are gone, but you know what else? We didn't have air conditioning at that time, and we didn't have anything else, and we were still driving a family of nine a DeSoto limo. Well, all right, I'm an older guy, but we drove that car for a long time, a DeSoto limo. I only had one car. It was a limo. Well, it didn't have a car garage, and this is in Michigan, only had a carport, a single-car carport. And with all my brothers, if I wanted to go on a date, it had to be a double date or a triple date because we only had one car. I look back, I say, okay, all right, okay. So we didn't have some things then, but there are other things that we did have. There was a sense of civility. And yet at the same time, there were still crimes and things. But the Bible said to not long for the old days. There's really no such thing as the old days. In fact, how far back do you want to go? To the Civil War, World War II, World War I? Want to go all the way back to when the Romans were crucifying Christians in the Colosseum? We've always had problems, but we've always had a hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, you know, he never leave us nor forsake us, right? He makes that very clear. He says, lo, I'm with you to the end of the earth. How much more do you want? Sometimes we're wondering, hey, God, are you there? And then we don't even hear anything back. So the fact is it's a bit rhetorical. I understand that. You know, John the Baptist baptized Jesus, right? Sees the Holy Spirit descend as a dove. What an incredible experience. And then he goes around and says, you know, that this is the one that he must decrease, Jesus must increase. This is the one whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to even loosen. And yet, when he's in prison, he sends his disciples to Jesus and tells them to ask Jesus, tell us so we can report back to John, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we've been waiting for? And John, who had all of this experience and ministry up until the time that he got locked up, he would never have asked that question. Never. And then, of course, Jesus said, well, go back and tell him that the lepers are healed, the dead are raised, the deaf hear, the blind see. And that's his answer. Only the Messiah would be doing that. But the fact is that with all of the proof that John had and a physical connection, John and Jesus were second cousins. Yeah, they were second. Most people don't even think of that, but they were. They were second cousins. Their mothers were apparently first cousins. makes the children second cousins. And yet, with all of the proof of the baptism in the river and all that he had, he still, in his moment of trial and testing, was challenged. He has these doubts that creep in. We're going to have those as things just go further and further into the toilet in this country. God, did you really say this? And we could unwittingly be saying the same thing that the devil said to Eve. Yea, hath God really said? Did you say this, or were you kidding? Lord, is this translation of the Bible correct? And he's going to answer us. He will take care of that situation. However, that doesn't mean we may not have those doubts and those fears at that moment in time of testing. I got saved in a Pentecostal church. I kind of grew up on Pentecostal preachers, and I kind of where I am today is probably Bapticostal, kind of somewhere. But anyway, I heard a lot of preaching that fear is sin, and I understand that. We only can operate under fear or faith. And fear is bondage. Fear is torment. But Paul said that he had fears. He had been in fears. And I don't think it's a way of living. It's a momentary thing where it's hard to not wonder what is going on. And yet, you know, the perseverance we have is to not listen to a spouse that says, like Job's spouse said, well, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, though he slay me, Job said, I'm not doing that. He can go ahead and slay me, but I'm not doing that. So I wonder sometimes how somebody like Job in the Old Testament, which is, you didn't have these men filled with the Holy Spirit, had the Holy Spirit upon them, but not resident within them, how sometimes they demonstrate more faith than born-again people do under the new covenant. Good question, huh? Give me your answer if you want, redskyradio777@gmail.com. I just sort of launched over into my Sunday morning program, which I hope you hear the Sunday morning with Robin Walter. Okay, quickly, now I want to cover some Israeli things here, some Israeli, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran. It's been covered in great detail on the regular news media, so I'm not going to go into great detail here. But I'm amazed here. You got Nancy Pelosi, the woman who, I don't know if this is biblical or not, but honestly, if a random bullet should enter her left ear, it would emerge from her right ear without any material reduction in velocity. It's just passing through a vacuum, an empty space. She is so dumb. It just blows me away. But she and 47 of her little chums in Congress were pushing Biden to stop the transfers of certain weapons to Israel. The weapons, including F-35s, happen to be the very things that Israel ultimately then used to blow Iran out of the sky, no pun intended, and all of the drones and ballistic missiles and the cruise missiles. Yes, everything that Nancy and her brain-dead chums, the Israel haters, and as I said, every Jew hater in Congress is a Democrat. Every single outspoken Jew hater in Congress is a Democrat. They want all these weapons to no longer be shipped to Israel so that they can't use them against, presumably, Gaza. Because they don't want any more casualties among the Gazanians, as I call them. Well, the problem here is, of course, that which could be used against Gaza was also that which was used against Iran. Which makes a point that I've made ad nauseum, but you're going to hear it again. There is virtually no weapon that is usable for offense that isn't also capable of use for defense. We can't, every Democrat wants to get rid of AR-15s and semi-automatic pistols, handguns. And yet, those are the very same things that all the Democrats, government people from the secretary of this to the secretary of that, and Joey Corn Pop and Cammy Baby and all their bodyguards, they've all got those weapons. Why? Because they're good for defense, just like the F-35s were and the other things that Israel used to blow Iran out of the sky. So this is sort of the hypocrisy that we deal with on a daily basis, and this is why this election is so important, folks. If Trump loses, we're gone. He's not the savior. Don't get me wrong on that. He isn't. There's a lot of unhealthy characteristics. But doggone it, we need a bull in the China shop. What we need is a Texas Longhorn bull in the China shop to bust things up, or it's toast. This is what people don't realize. Well, I don't like this about him, and I like about that. And, well, who'd you vote for before? Oh, Barack Obama. Why? Well, because he's so articulate. Well, come on. Hitler was articulate. I mean, this just blows me away how stuck on stupid so many people are and base things not on policy, but are totally caught up with personality. There will be no fair elections if we go down this November anymore. I'm convinced it's over. They will have mastered the art of control, and maybe that's when it comes to the point that I've been saying for 15 years now. That's right, 15 years. Secession is inevitable. I still think it is, because I'm not convinced that Trump will win. And what is it? All these states, I got about 17 or 18 states that I think could blow out of this union and form yet an even more perfect union called the real United States of America. Well, and Joey, the only reason Joey does what he does with respect to Israel is because he has a ton of high net worth Jewish donors, which I think are shrinking in number and hopefully dollar amount all the time. Never really understood that, why so many Jews vote Democrat. And I don't know. I don't have to figure it out anymore. All I know is that the numbers supporting Trump among Jews and Black and Hispanic are increasing. But Joey would have no use for Israel if it wasn't the money that comes from Jewish donors. I mean, goodness sakes, Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, the number of people in his cabinet and his advisors that were absolute anti-Semitic zealots. And yet Barack would go play to a Jewish crowd like he's with them all the time. But, you know, he was slick. He would make a good Antichrist, like Gavin Grusom. He'd be a good Antichrist with a charisma, but yet from the pit of hell. So Israel responding to Joey, it's hard. This blows me away, but it's been absolutely confirmed that Biden actually gave Iran approval for a limited attack on Israel. Who does this guy just think he's the kingmaker? Well, we know he isn't, but who's pulling his strings? I've said it's Obama, but I think it's got to be somebody above Obama to be able to be having these kinds of controlling puppet strings in different places around the world. Why would he be giving Iran a limited window to attack? Why, to appease? Is he trying to keep the mullahs happy by showing, being able to show the Iranian people who were actually against the regime, show them that they're standing up for Iran and they're really going to let Israel have it? But they aren't really letting Israel have it. And the reason we know that this is all coordinated is, how is it that five or six countries, France, Britain, the U.S., Germany, they're all together with advance notice that this is going to happen? I mean, is this just make-believe? Is this just a play? Is this just a game? You see, Biden is trying to do what's necessary to keep Iran a little bit under control, but he's got to make the mullahs look good, the ayatollahs look good, like they're really having at it. But by the same token, he needs to try to really look good that we're going to defend Israel. And he's right there to do it in this situation for his election. If it wasn't for the election, he couldn't give a rat's rear end about Israel. And I mean that. He's not in charge. And the people that are in charge don't give a rat's rear end about Israel. So the response, then Joey said, how did it go? Okay, his response was, well, what are you telling Iran about this attack? He said, don't. One word answer, don't. And then they do. This, how much charade is going on here, I don't know, but I'm thrilled that Israel basically has told Biden, when Biden said, look, if you attack Iran now, we're not with you. We're not going to support you. If they attack you, we'll support you. You attack somebody else, then we're not going to support you. Israel's basically told them to go pound sand, Joey. All right. Well, okay, I'm shifting some things around here because I see that I've overtalked my topics. I apologize. I'm going to end with a good news piece here in just a minute. But it blows me away how, I mean, it's every 2 to 3 to 4 days, I see another tranny blowing up something, blowing up, I mean, this last one is the explosive outside the Alabama Attorney General's office. The Antifa people blowing up. One just got sentenced the other day for 7.5 years for blowing up a crisis pregnancy center. No, it was a church. I can't even keep them straight. I got a stack of these things. I keep saying I'm going to do it, but how much and how often is it a homosexual, or is it a tranny, or does a homosexual or tranny Antifa person that's out there with no brains and a gun or bombs trying to take it to the righteous people because they can't handle the conviction of sin, and the only way they know how to do it because they're all hair triggers. Sorry. I've worked with a number of homosexuals who are all hair triggered. Not one single one that actually, when push comes to shove, could control their temper. Not one. Talked to a pastor the other day, 65 years old. I said, how many homosexuals have you counseled? A lot. How many of them do you know that were not sexually abused as a child? He said, not a single one. Every single one was. So I understand the dynamics of the living situation has triggered and produced this belief that they are homosexual. They aren't. Sorry, they aren't. They may think they are. They may act that way, but God didn't make them that way. Things do things to people. But these are the ones that are on, these are the ones that are actually the domestic terrorists. These are the ones that should be on the terror watch list. Not veterans returning from Afghanistan, not retired police officers. And yet, Salon, which is, gosh, it speaks for too many people on the left, I'm afraid, claims that the MAGA people are responsible for New York City's men punching women in the face. Yes, I said that, because that's what they're saying. And others are saying that. Yeah, MAGA, you are at fault. Donald Trump's at fault for the rash of attacks against these unsuspecting women all across New York City. Well, let me understand this. How can Trump be responsible when 76% of New York City votes Democrat? And these attacks aren't happening any other place? Why aren't they happening in Nashville? Why aren't they happening in Albuquerque, New Mexico? Why aren't they happening in Peoria, Illinois? Why are they all happening in New York City? And yet Donald Trump's to blame? You see, there is nothing that the righteous can do that will win over the lost other than, well, I don't know. I mean, you love them to the extent that you can. I pray for the leaders, but I don't pray for the leaders just God save Joe Biden, save Kamala Harris, have them have a change of heart. That never happened with Barack Obama. Those prayers were never, they were heard, but they weren't answered in the affirmative. Yes, I'll do that. But I also then have added something else. God, if they are not going to be won over by whatever method, maybe it's the love of a Christian in the face of persecution, because that happens. It happens to prison guards might get won over. And so things, amazing things can happen when the love of Jesus Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, touches somebody with whom we're dealing directly. But on a larger scale, how does that reach a Joe Biden, a Mayorkas, a Merrick Garland, a Kamala Harris, a Gavin Newsom? So my prayers are, God, reach them however you must. And if they aren't responsive to you, then I invoke and pray for 2 Thessalonians 3:2, that we would be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, and yes, women, because not all men and women have faith. Delivered. Deliver us from these wicked people. Good news. I'm thrilled about something Florida's done in closing here. They now have adopted a death penalty for child abusers. That's right. I mean, Jesus said it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast into the sea than to lead one of these little ones astray. Ooh, death penalty doesn't sound too much compared to having a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. Death penalty is quicker. That's a long, agonizing drowning on your way to the bottom of the drink. But I'd like to see it expanded. And you may think, Rob, you've gone off the deep end. Maybe so, but I want to go off the deep end for the Lord here. I would like to see the death penalty for any doctor or anybody in the medical profession, loosely so called in this circumstance, who's in the business of mutilating minor children for the wickedness of the physical or the chemical castrations, the mastectomies on 12 and 13 year old girls. These doctors should be executed after a fair trial, not beforehand. I believe in the rule of law. I'm a lawyer. I've done some criminal work, not a lot. Hope to do more, actually. But they need to see a firing squad on nightly news. How do you stop this monstrosity without having a punishment that is quickly invoked after such dastardly crimes? Barbarianism is where we are as a country. Barbarians. To do this, to basically be offering our children up, not just in the womb, but afterwards to the gods of Molech and Ashtoreth. Somehow we think that the parents that are participants in this, honestly, should lose custody for the best interests of the child. Well, you want to know, well, what's good news about that? Well, the good news is that Ecclesiastes 8:11 says that because this sentence against an evil work is not carried out quickly, the heart of man is fully set to do evil. If the sentence against an evil work, such as this, were carried out and carried out quickly, it would be the end of the absolute monstrosity of the mutilation of our children. not old enough to drive, not old enough to drink, not old enough to go die in a foreign war, not old enough to do a whole bunch of things, get a library card in some cases, but somehow willing doctors will mutilate these children. God have mercy on us, but God bring judgment against those who do. Jesus said, you know, that these woes must come. These woes, this evil must come, but woe unto them who commit the evil. The time is now. We don't have much time to turn things around or be part of it. But whether we are successful or not does not change your obligation and your duty, nor mine. We are called to sit tall in the saddle because we ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.